Our technical director, Earl Mayer.
That's what the San Francisco Chronicle suggested today. There was a press conference in front of the City Hall in Berkeley. Many of the activists who are organizing the
event on Saturday. Flash Points, beginning
Bell Plaza
now.
In support of Free Speech Radio, spoke there. And in a little bit, we're going to be hearing that. We're going to hear another piece, a different piece, I swear to you, from Perry Thomas of Down These Main Streets fame. We're going to hear a message from a supporter, a noted supporter, of the struggle to keep Free Speech Radio free and to take back KPFA. But first, this message from the chair of the board of KFCF, Doug Knoll.
This is Doug Knoll, president of the Fresno Free College Foundation, which is the owner and operator and licensee of radio station KFCF 88.1 in Fresno, California. We are delighted that Dennis Bernstein is going to be broadcasting Flashpoints again live from Berkeley ISDN down to Fresno and broadcast out to our listening audience. We are appalled at the behavior of the Pacifica Foundation in cutting off and locking out the KPFA staff, and we applaud all of the Berkeley people who are trying to bring back Radio Free KPFA. And as far as we're concerned, even if Pacifica succeeds in its goal, KFCF will remain on the air as an independent, radio-free, free speech radio, and we invite all KPFA programmers who want a home, who want a place to broadcast, who want to get the right ideas out to the people to broadcast from here. Again, thanks a lot, Dennis. We really appreciate it. And I can tell you that all of our listeners down here will be anxiously tuning in tonight at 5 o'clock.
And we're back. And now, coming up, we're going to play for you a strong and long excerpt of a press conference that took place today in front of City Hall. It followed last night's unanimous vote that called for the resignation of Executive Director Lynn Chadwick. And it called for the staff to be allowed back into the station to do the work that we are meant to do. But we also learned late last night, that Dr. Mary Frances Berry had a board meeting yesterday in which was discussed that which I was fired and dragged out for reporting on, as in playing a 15-minute clip press conference, that is, that she was talking about selling the radio station, selling KPFA. You can check out the story in the Chronicle. There was a board meeting, an executive committee meeting, where this was going to be discussed and other things. We don't have any results on that yet, but I will tell you that there's a lot going on. Things are moving fast, and I do hope that you will come down on Saturday and join us on the campus of UC Berkeley, 11 o'clock, Sproul Plaza, and participate in a mass rally and organizing operation. If Mary Frances Berry is getting ready to sell the station, we got to get active. This press conference starts with Andrea Buffa of Media Alliance. Media Alliance is a media watchdog group in the Bay Area, and she sort of runs down the lineup of who spoke in front of the City Hall today in Berkeley, and one of the key speakers, and the first one is Pete Bramson. He was in that board meeting yesterday, so he has firsthand knowledge of what happened, so you'll hear Andrea's voice first, and then you'll hear that of National Board Member Pete Bramson, and again, you're listening to Flashpoints Free on 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, and stream live over the World Wide Web. Here's Andrea.
I'm just going to let you know what the lineup is for the press conference. The first speaker is going to be Pete Bramson. He's a Pacifica National Board member from Berkeley. After that, Sherry Gendelman, who is the chair of the local advisory board for KPFA. Jay Imani will be speaking on behalf of the steering committee, which is the group that represents the various constituencies of KPFA and the mediation of Pacifica. Then Dennis Bernstein will speak. He's a journalist who was pulled off the air, fired, and arrested by Pacifica. And then Dan Jones will be speaking on behalf of the community about the mass mobilization on July 31st. So the first person is Pete Bramson, that's B-R-A-M-S-O-N, Pacifica National Board member.
Thank you all for being here. My name is Pete Bramson, that's spelled B-R-A-M-S-O-N. I have been a member of the Pacifica National Board since March of last year. My day job is as assistant support manager for a computerized ticketing agency, and I live in Oakland, California. I take no pleasure in being here today, but I cannot remain silent while Pacifica's national board holds serious discussions in secret about selling KPFA. KPFA is a national treasure. My commitment is to the KPFA staff and the listening community. I hope that by making this public, we can help convince the rest of the board not to go through the project plan. Pacifica Board Chair Mary Frances Berry has repeatedly said during these last past several weeks that she has no intention of selling KPFA. That is not true. During a telephone conference call yesterday, Pacifica Board Vice Chair David Acosta put forward the following proposal. I want to emphasize there was no vote, but the executive committee of the board was to continue discussions on this today. I do not serve on that committee. There are several parts to this plan which is somewhat complicated and was floated in an incomplete fashion yesterday, so I'll give you the highlights. Acosta proposed taking out a $5 million loan against the value of the KPFA license. That could happen quickly. He proposed selling the KPFA frequency, which has an estimated value of $65 to $75 million. That would take longer to accomplish. With a small portion of the proceeds of the sale of KPFA, Acosta proposed that Pacifica set up another Northern California station, perhaps one in Palo Alto, which Mary Berry said might be a friendlier city than Berkeley. A possible Palo Alto station would have only a fraction of the potential audience that KPFA currently can reach. As part of the discussions of selling KPFA, questions were raised about the financial costs of the current dispute, the armed guards, and the new public relations firm. While Mary Frances Berry did not provide specific figures on the cost, she did say that there may be only enough money left to continue paying the staff for 2 to 3 weeks. Mary Frances Berry also said that the new public relations firm Feynman and Associates may quit. There was no hint that Mary Frances Berry has any intention of trying to reopen KPFA, put the staff back to work, and resume broadcasting the wonderful local programs which have been produced here for 50 years. We do need our station back. I call publicly on my fellow board members to do the right thing and give KPFA back to the community. Finally, yesterday Mary Frances Berry called me a fascist thug for disagreeing with her, and she called on me and two other dissenting board members to resign. I have no intention of resigning from the board. I will continue to fight as a member of Pacifica National Board to save KPFA. Thank you very much. Let me introduce Terry Gendelman, the local board chair.
I'm Terry Gendelman, chair of the KPFA Local Advisory Board, and currently a named plaintiff in a suit filed against the Pacifica Foundation, trying to force them to undo recent changes to their bylaws, which eliminate any input from the community. My remarks will be brief, and we do look forward to your questions. It is my firm belief that the Pacifica Governing Board is contemptuous of the underlying mission of the Pacifica Foundation. They are contemptuous of free speech radio, and they abhor grassroots democracy. For them to suggest that people on the governing board who are the loyal opposition, who are dedicated to protecting the notion of free speech and democracy, are fascists is, I guess we've reached 1984 here. I believe that the governing board is attempting to cover up their incompetence. They are incompetent in terms of the finances and managing the finances of the station. They seem intent upon spending down the resources of the Pacifica Foundation so that they become bankrupt and then can justify the sale of the station. And they are incompetent in terms of a vision for the next millennium in terms of this precious and only place on the media dial that allows the broadcasting of ideas that are provocative, radical, and progressive. I want to emphasize the fact that every statement that has come from the governing board has been a lie. How do we know when they're lying when they say they will not sell the station? Their lips are moving. That's how we know they're lying. They have lied to the staff, they have lied to the listeners, and they have lied to the community. We call upon them to stop the course that they are on, reverse their position, and join with us in creating a network of progressive radio for the next century.
I'm Jay Imani. That's J.I.M.A.N.I. I'm a member of the local advisory board and a member of the 11-person steering committee that was elected to negotiate an end to the crisis with Pacifica. The steering committee has daily taken votes to, as whether or not to continue in the negotiations. We have been lied to and deceived since entering into negotiations with Pacifica. They told us they weren't changing the signal, then they changed the signal. They told us they weren't going to broadcast from a remote location outside of Berkeley, and now they're broadcasting from a remote location outside of Berkeley. They told us they weren't going to sell the station. Now it seems they're moving to sell the station. We'd like them to know that while Pacifica may think that KPFA is a commercial station, a commodity station, it is not. It is a community station. And community stations are never, ever for sale. And any Pacifica board member that is contemplating the sale of KPFA or any of the other five stations in the network should resign yesterday. Later today, the steering committee will be meeting to decide whether or not to continue negotiations with Pacifica. It looks like to me, sadly enough, that we won't be able to work this out with them, that they were never serious about working this out, and that they only wanted time to be able to find themselves a buyer. And that's horrible to have treated the community that helped build this station for 50 years. There are people who spent their lives and give hundreds of dollars every year to this station in this community to see it go on, and now they're going to sell this out from under them. They're going to sell this out from under our grandparents who helped build it. That is a horrible, horrible atrocity, and they should be terribly ashamed of themselves. Thank you.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Dennis Bernstein. I was the journalist who was arrested by Pacifica and taken out in handcuffs because I tried to play a clip of a 15-minute press conference in which it was discussed that they were talking about selling both, either selling KPFA or WBAI in New York. This is nothing short of a corporate raid on community radio. This is a planned attempt to lock out both the staff and the listeners. It was a planned, hostile raid. They first changed, literally, the mailing address. They took away our door codes. They hired an armed police force of hostile, trained and hostile terminations, and they locked us out. This is a station and a network that I have worked for 20 years for and raised over $7 million. I convinced thousands of listeners to support the alternative. Their money is in that building. Their blood is in that building. We have now a heist, an inside job, a steal, a free speech community radio. This is a sacred institution in this community, and the other stations that in their communities are just as sacred. Here we have a raid from Washington, D.C., from people who think that we should be doing commodity radio, that communities aren't important enough, that they want to be actors in the new global media market. This is outrageous. Again, I want to know how they had the nerve to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars of listener-supported money, listeners who gave their money for an alternative. They're getting an alternative, all right. They're having their station stolen right out from under them. Thank you.
My name is Van Jones. I am with the Ella Baker Center for Human Rights. And I just want to say one thing. People thought there were protests in Berkeley. They thought there were protests in Berkeley when Binsky's show was taken off. They thought there were protests when Robbie Osmond was pulled off the air. They thought there were protests when Dennis Bernstein was jerked off the air. If they sell this station, the protests up until this point will look like dinner parties. We are absolutely not going to stand by and let a community radio station be sold. Community radio is never for sale. It is not commodity radio. It is community radio, and it will not be sold. We are going to have one of the biggest marches for free speech and community radio in the history of the country on Saturday, starting at noon at Sproul Plaza, which is the home of free speech, the birth of free speech, at 11. We're going to start at 11, and we're going to march past the station to this park. The word needs to go forth. Everybody needs to understand that this is serious, serious business. This board has lied and lied and lied and lied and lied. They said in the paper today that they were not trying to sell the station. That is the best proof we have that they are trying to sell the station. The best proof we have that they are is that they said they're not. Everything that they said they're not going to do, they have done in the past 2 months, the past 2 weeks. We want everyone to know about this incredibly important demonstration. and is going to happen. It is going to be huge, and it's going to start at Sproul at 11 o'clock on Saturday. We are not going to stand by while community radio is turning to commodity radio in Berkeley. We refuse to let this happen. We invite everyone to come out. Thank you very much.
So on behalf of Media Alliance, I want to say to the Pacifica Board of Directors that the world is watching, and it seems that they would rather eliminate 50 years of free speech than admit that communities around the United States are uniting to oppose their tactics of intimidation and censorship. We have many members here of the KPFA staff and of the steering committee and of the community that are available for questions, and we can also take questions right now.
Steve, can you go tonight? To your knowledge, was there going to be a further discussion in telephone links after today?
Yes, there was.
At what time?
I think it's 1 o'clock Pacific time.
Okay. Will you be part of that?
I will not.
Why not?
I'm not on the executive committee.
Oh, it's just the executive committee.
Correct.
To your knowledge, are they going to be talking about selling?
I think they'll be talking about several proposals, and one of those proposals will be selling a station.
So the executive committee votes now, that's binding, or does the whole board have to vote?
It would be my contention that the entire board must vote on it.
And from your sense of the board members, would it pass?
I don't think it would pass right now, but it's very, very close. It may.
What is your sense? Can you be more open-ended about what is your sense about the feeling of the board with regard to this issue?
Which issue? There's many.
Well, with regard to what's going on with KPFA, I mean, one gets the impression when it's painted in black and white is that it's community versus board. Is that really the way it is?
I think the board does not understand the significance of the radio community here in Berkeley. I think the board made some decisions that were not well thought out, and currently what we are facing here in the local community, specifically the Berkeley and the KPFA signal area, is around the problems in the decision-making process that the board has undertaken, resulting in the crisis and the problems that we're having here.
Did you advise them not to? Were you
in those conversations that I was involved with, I was against many of the decisions that the board made.
What was the board trying to do at that time?
I think the board's intent is to try to continue moving the mission and the strategic plan of Pacifica forward. I do not think their acts have proven that they are doing that.
Well, we've had the slogan that the board is trying to make a commodity out of a community station. Do you agree with that? Is that what they're trying to do?
I'm not sure what the entire board is trying to do. I know that I do not support that, and that there are several other members of the board that do not support that.
Before this thing blew up, did you feel that's where it was going?
I did not feel before this blew up that, and let's call the date March 31st when Nicole was not renewed,
right.
Besides being a tragic day for KPFA, I don't know that the board understood the significance of that decision that has currently put the board and our community into this tragic circumstance.
There's some open meeting requirements, aren't there, for the board to meet and publish their agenda. Are they violating any open meeting laws?
Not completely familiar with that topic, in that there are no specific decisions being made, only conversations. I don't know that there is a violation.
The question of the open meeting law and other legal violations and other legal issues are being explored right now. We've been in contact with several attorneys. Certainly we are concerned that Pete, Aaron Kriegel and other people who oppose the Pacifica Foundation may be forced off the board. So that is a legal consideration that is on the table right now. As I said, there is a lawsuit filed to reverse the changes to the bylaws, creating the governing board as a self-perpetuating board. There are also other things that we are considering legally and very intensely to prevent the sale of the station, so that is not a slam dunk for our side whatsoever.
You said that that negotiations have been ongoing. Did you mean with the mediator?
Negotiations have not been ongoing. We've been mired in trying to come up with agreements and protocols. Every day that we have tried to go to mediation, Pacifica has done some provocative or escalatory act every single time.
But let me stop you right there.
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying they did an act and therefore you got angry and didn't go to the mediator?
No, no.
Every day
we went and sat down with the mediator and said, could you ask them what they're doing up at the transmitter? And they would come back with a lie. And then the next day, we went into mediation, we bring in the newspaper and we say, now, Miss Mediator, they told you they were doing earthquake preparedness. Here it says they're switching the signal. In the paper, their media person, their spin doctor is saying they're switching the signal. We asked you that on Monday, are they switching the signal? They said no. Mediation is about good faith. They've only been bad faith, bad faith, bad faith. It's like a abusive relationship. If somebody keeps slapping you, and then you keep coming back and sitting down at the table, and they keep slapping you, why are they going to stop slapping you? So at this point, you know, because we're so committed to this radio station, so committed to the charge that the community gave us, we've been grappling. Like I said, every day we take a vote, go or not go. Every day we take a vote, come back or not come back, right? And it's very, very difficult and very, very close, and there's very mixed emotions about it. But we know that we feel like we're our community's only hope. At this stance right now, though, it feels like Pacifica, and it looks like Pacifica has no integrity whatsoever. There's no way to negotiate with somebody who has no integrity. No way to mediate with somebody who has no integrity, who will only lie to you and deceive you.
When you talk to the mediator, do you know that the mediator then talks to Pacifica?
We know this for a fact, and she comes back and tells. The other day, I don't want to. It is. It's a very frustrating process when we know, when we go in and we know, because somebody has leaked it or told us already, this is what they're doing, and we go and ask them, saying, we think this is what you're doing, and they say no. And then a day later, go and tell you, the press, that's exactly what they were doing. And then we're supposed to keep negotiating with them, and we're supposed to stay there in good faith. It's very, very difficult.
When Mary Barry was out here, she said that she came out here to perhaps resolve this situation, when in fact she came out here to oversee the armed guard takeover of the station. It's also the belief of several people involved in the mediation that they have used this also as a weapon or a tool against us to delay whatever program it is that they want to establish in order to put themselves in a position to sell the station. We have been there every day. We have been there in good faith, and they have, of course, it is, in our estimation, been there in bad faith and used it as a delaying tactic.
But that's not what we're hearing from Pete Ramson, who says, you know, he doesn't paint it that black and white. He doesn't see the board as attempting to do the things you're accusing them of doing. Are you really talking about Mary?
I think you're. Let's clear it up a little bit. What Pete sees in the struggle in the board, that's one thing. What the board does, that's black and white. If we go in and we have just audio and we listen to the conversation, we may say, wow, there's some real struggle going on. But then when you turn off the sound and you step back and you watch, right, it's been a straight march. It has been a march from firing Nicole to this day has been a march. They have not wavered an inch. Dr. Mary Frances Berry had my phone number before she came out here 2 or 3 weeks ago to have a private press briefing. Knew that I wanted to meet with her, knew that the community wanted to meet with her, knew that we had developed a steering committee to negotiate the end to this crisis, and instead, the first thing she does when she gets here is call a private press briefing on the 21st floor of the Marriott Hotel in Oakland, cutting out the community, cutting out the staff. So maybe the sound is mixed. The action is very, very clear. So, and it's not just about Mary, because there's other people, there's a majority. So maybe there's a minority that feels as Pete does, but there's a majority of people that she has the vote to march this thing forward. No deviation from this program. And there are people who've been saying 2 years ago, a year ago, 6 months ago, this was the program. Everything they've said is coming true daily, daily. And the day before, they'll call us a lie. The day before, they'll say, we're making it up, and we're paranoid. The next day, it comes out in the paper, they're thinking of selling the station. 2 weeks ago, we were paranoid. It was inconceivable. Now we know she's engaged in a conversation about doing it. How can we trust them? How can we negotiate? Where's the good faith? Where is the good faith?
Sherry, is that a legally constituted board? Are there problems with the constitution of the board?
Of the governing board?
Governing board and their
Well, currently, I think that they are not a legally constituted board, and part of our lawsuit contains a restraining order preventing the governing board from adding any new members while the issues of our lawsuit are being considered by the court. So I would say that they are not a legally constituted board, and they are certainly a board that is not acting in the best interest of the mission of the Pacifica Radio Foundation.
What's the status of the suit?
The suit has been filed in Alameda. All of the named defendants, including Pete, have been served, and we are about to begin both discovery depositions and have a hearing on the temporary restraining order. I don't have a date for that hearing yet, so.
I just want to make one more statement. 2 weeks ago, when I received an email from board member Michael Palmer explaining that he was interested in selling the station, the Pacifica board came out with a statement, and they said that Palmer was the only board member that supported the sale of the station, and they publicly stated that the station, none of the stations would be sold, and that statement was read by Mary Frances Berry on KPFA over and over and over again. We know today that the executive committee has a proposal to discuss the sale of the station, and the majority of the executive committee members would support selling KPFA. So those are lies coming out of the board of directors.
I just want to be very clear. When we say a planned hostile takeover of community radio, that's not hyperbole. Two law firms that specialize in downsizing with high-paid attorneys are working on this. They hire a police force, IPSA International. You go to their website. They specialize in hostile terminations, downsizing, and meeting the needs of the new corporate executive.
Here is Mumia Abu-Jamal, speaking on the crisis at KPFA.
This call is coming from a correctional facility.
The struggles of the staffers at Pacifica's flagship in San Francisco is a fundamental one. It's about the freedom of the mind. It is not, as administrators suggest, a battle for progress, nor professionalism. These terms are but media speak for the NPRization of KPFA and a flight away from the radical segment into the faux relevance of yuppiedom. Without the open microphone that has become the laudable hallmark of the Pacifica Network, the radical sparks that fire whole communities will be marginalized to the narrow bands of micro-radio, if not vanished altogether, if capital and its minions in government have their way. Former Pacifica President Peter Frank hit the nail on the head when he wrote, quote, "I think the thing that has to be remembered is that Pacifica is a profoundly subversive, very dangerous organization, and there is a strong impetus from Washington to mute it," unquote. One wonders, what is subversive? What's dangerous? In a state where the very gene pool is being swiftly commodified, nothing is more dangerous than the sound of critical resistance.
This call is coming from a correctional facility.
Looks to the people, not to corporations, for its very existence. For capital, such an entity threatens its total hegemony and domination. I fought long and hard enough against the gags and muzzles of the state to recognize a similar gag job. It's for that reason that I joined with womanist wordsmith Alice Walker, feisty poet June Jordan, linguist and teacher Noam Chomsky, people's historian Howard Zinn, Fair, the Alameda Central Labor Council, and Berkeley's Progressive City Council, in siding with the beleaguered staff of KPFA, who were rumbling against Pacifica management and the recent crushing of dissent. Rehire Sawaya and Bensky for free air on the move from Death Row. This is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
And you're listening to Flashpoints Free on KFCF in Fresno. That's 88.1, streamed live to you over the World Wide Web. My name is Dennis Bernstein. I'm here with Leslie Kane, and we have Ralph Steiner at the board. We're talking to you from Ralph's garage studio, or we call it Global View Communications. That sounds nice, doesn't it? Coming up, we're going to have, I meant to play you this cut last night. We had a little technical difficulty. We're featuring the work of the great Flowmaster, Perry Thomas, poet, writer, activist. Perry Thomas actually gave me my first shot at radio back in New York City when I was teaching in prison in Rikers Island. I was teaching moral issues. I was teaching the writings of Mahatma Gandhi and Martin Luther King. One night I was teaching the prisoners, and the next night I was teaching the guards. Sometimes I would think to myself that they were all really prisoners. Anybody who is behind those walls for a short time or a long time is behind bars. Anyway, Perry Thomas is also the author of Down These Mean Streets. What I would do is I would tape record my interviews with prisoners and put them on his show. He, too, served 13 years behind bars. Let's listen to Perry.